Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
They lay dormant for years, waiting for the chance to appear once again. Now, they're back, and they'll find you no matter where you try to hide.
Yeah, fuck you, Tremors 2 Aftershocks!
Woo! Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone!
Tremors 2. My name is David Bell. How do we do the intro?
I don't know. It's fucking Fear Worms.
Because we do. It's like it's Fear Worms, but it's like an offshoot of We Just Watched.
Right.
But
it's mostly Fear Worms.
Yeah. It's like We Just Watched presents Fear Worms number 2.
Fear Worms.
Tremors Aftershocks.
Fear Pat 2. Tremors 2. That's it.
Presented by Aaron Burser, our Patreon subscriber who has commissioned us to make this glorious mini-series where we're listening to us watching all of the Tremors, every single one of them.
And there are
so many of them.
There are so fucking many Tremors movies.
Yep. And we're on
to... Why are there so many Tremors movies?
I think we all know why.
I think we do too, yeah.
It's a gift that keeps giving. They're worms. They're worms and they evolve. And that's just great. This is Tremors 2 Aftershock. I want to start with a realization about this movie I had. I've watched this movie a lot as a kid. I forgot. It's like It, where they come back to the town and it all comes back to them.
Yeah.
Like this thing that haunted them as a kid. Because, I watched Tremors a lot too. But me and a friend, we also watched this one a lot. Because as I was watching, I was like, oh, I know everything that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I remember dialogue.
I remembered more of this movie than I expected to. I, however, have definitely only seen this once, maybe twice.
Okay. A background of this movie also is that this was originally a theatrical release.
It was a budget of $17
million. Yeah, it has good reviews. It got good test audience scores, too. Even when it was reduced, the budget, down to $4
million. They couldn't get Kevin Bacon or Reba McEntire, although apparently both of them wanted to do it.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon turned down this movie to do another movie, and I'm not sure if it panned out. The other movie was Apollo 13.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Time's going to tell on that
one. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
And Reba McEntire was on tour.
Yeah.
And couldn't film.
And so this actually got good reviews and almost got a theatrical run. But in the end, they were like, we better just do what we wanted to do. Because it was originally, the $17 million script version was going to be from the feature film division of Universal. When Bacon and Reba left, they brought it down to $4 million. They moved the production from Australia just back to Los Angeles or around Los Angeles. Valencia, I believe, California. They shot for 27 days.
It's pretty short.
Yeah, and a lot of the actors and the people involved like took pay cuts and got it down to $4 million, which is a third of the original budget for Tremors. They mostly just shot what was on the page, though. They had to cut a couple of sequences. One specifically where Burt Gummer steals a tank.
Yeah.
And a scene involving Civil War muskets. I don't know why that brought down the budget for them, but I know why the tank did.
Right. Probably just more effects. Like, I know another one was they were supposed to find bodies in the destroyed radio tower.
Okay.
But that was a little more than the effects budget that they had.
I see.
So, the effects still look pretty good.
Yeah. You know who did the CGI?
Phil Tippett.
Phil Tippett of Jurassic Park fame.
You had one job, Phil, meme.
And the Creatures Design team was, of course, Amalgamated Dynamics, who we mentioned in the earlier podcast.
Yeah. Alec Gillis and Tom Woodruff Jr.
Yes. great guys. They did the puppet effects for this, which are, I think, great.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, we can go more into the making of, unless we want to just tell people, I mean, what the story is. Because I have a little more to say about the making of, but we can...
Yeah, we can get into the story.
Okay. Well, this is Fred Ward again. Earl.
Earl has foolishly spent his... Like, he and Val and kind of everybody involved became minor celebrities because, yeah, that makes sense.
And not, it's more than minor. Like, they had a Reebok commercial, it's mentioned.
That's true. Yeah,
and there's
a
Graboid game.
Yeah, okay. So they were celebrities for a while. It's implied... We learned that Val got married. It is implied that he's married to Rhonda.
Yeah.
Earl invested his Graboid money kind of foolishly and bought ostriches to try to breed ostriches.
Exactly two ostriches.
Yeah.
This is the thing. He says, like, I wish I had a better lawyer, because, like, there's Graboid arcade game. Again, they did a Reebok commercial. They were on covers of magazines. And apparently they didn't get enough money for him to buy more than two ostriches, which I haven't looked it up, but they can't be that expensive.
I don't know. But yeah, the implication is, like, he says later, like, when he's talking about the money, he's like, oh, I'm going to invest it smartly and just, like, you know, bonds and CODs and stuff. Right. I'm definitely not going to buy any more ostriches. So it's implied that he got screwed out of a lot of money and that he spent what money he did make on a stupid ostrich venture.
Yeah. I could watch a whole movie of Fred Ward trying to wrangle ostriches to get them to fuck. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, according to IMDb trivia, the two ostriches that he's trying to get to fuck are clearly two male ostriches.
Oh, well, there's your problem.
Your problem, Fred Ward.
Yeah, that's why you're not getting any little ostriches.
Yeah, you bought two male ostriches.
So there are more worms terrorizing an oil field in Mexico, and the head of the company, the oil company, comes out to Earl to try to recruit him to help them destroy all the worms.
Right, via Vegas cab, which was weird.
Yeah, and then the cab driver gets hired as well, which is also weird.
Yes.
Pretty desperate situation if they're hiring the guy that just drove you out there.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to make $50,000 per worm too? Sure, climb aboard.
It's a weird thing because, as we see throughout, the Mexican government are the biggest enablers in this, where we never see them, but they keep giving them just literally anything they want.
Right, they give us sort of like a hand-wavy excuse as to why the Mexican military itself doesn't just kill the worms.
Right.
Like Grady says, Grady's the cab driver, who is basically like proto-Dane Cook.
Yeah, he was clearly what Kevin Bacon would have been.
They obviously rewrote the script slightly just to turn Kevin Bacon into this new character.
But yeah, proto-Dane Cook is for sure.
Proto-Dane Cook.
He is not... a great person to watch in a movie.
No, he's okay, but he is basically, if you feed him after midnight, he turns into Dan
Cook.
Yeah,
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, the military, they can afford to give them all the explosives, but not hire, like, a guy who isn't a Vegas cab driver. Or give this Mexican government official, like, a car to take. Because he clearly flew into Vegas and, like, found a cab driver? And the cab driver just happened to be a fan and was like, well, I'll take you there. It's just like, is there a car service? It's a weird detail.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like, they could have done a lot. They could have just had this guy be like a super fan who happened to be like bugging Fred Ward or something, you know, like.
Yeah.
Or just his assistant.
Like a guy they already hired because he was super into the Graboid shit.
Yeah.
There's a little production design detail that I love when they go inside Earl's trailer and you're seeing all the stuff he got, like the Graboid arcade game and stuff. There is a set of ostrich salt and pepper shakers on his counter.
That is delightful.
And it's just this tiny detail. I'm like, I love that they did that.
Yeah. Well, this movie
he just got ostriches. I wonder, did he get those first and was like, ostriches, that's the idea.
Yeah, he was like drunk one night, not sure what to do. This movie was made with care. It's the director is S.S. Wilson. He went on to write Wild Wild West. He's the writer of the first movie, and he wrote and directed this one.
Yeah, the same two guys wrote this movie.
Right.
And you can kind of tell because save... Save an exception that I guess we'll talk about in a second. The script is pretty tight.
Yes.
Definitely the opening 10 or 15 minutes are really tight. Like each scene just leads directly into the next scene and there's like no time waste. And I was like, wow, this script is pretty tight.
Oh yeah.
And like literally the minute I said that, act one kind of drags for a little bit.
Yes, a little bit.
Because there's no a lot stakes
of
at first.
Yeah, there's a lot of montages.
And that's this movie's, I mean, once we hit like the end of act two, this movie really picks up and like the last 40 minutes of this movie are great and fun.
Yeah. The reveal is, along the way is that the Tremors have evolved into Screechers. I think they call them, that's another thing I was going to point out is this movie is clearly very heavily influenced by Jurassic Park.
Yes.
And the Screechers are basically raptors.
They're just shriekers.
Shriekers.
And they're just raptors.
And this first part where they're like, come do this thing for us in his trailer felt very Jurassic Park. It felt like John Hammond visiting Alan Grant and Ellie. And so like, and then Phil Tippett, and then they knew like, CG is becoming a thing.
Yeah, it's Universal. It was filmed in 1994, actually, even though it wasn't released until 96.
Right, because it was
filmed the year after Jurassic Park came out.
Right, and I know the reason it took so long was they were considering doing theatrical runs. Like, there was a big push to release this theatrically, and...
Honestly, it could have been... The only thing I noticed that put it below theatrical quality was the music.
Oh yeah.
The music is pretty bad. All synth. It's TV music.
Yeah, which that's an easy solution. That's if they decide to release it theatrically.
Yeah, you just hire somebody to score it. Yeah. But like everything else, like it's filmed in a theatrical ratio.
The CGI is dated, but there's not much of it.
No, there's very little of it. It's mostly the practical stuff, and the effects are just as good as the first one. Oh, you can tell there's a little less money behind it, but they still look good.
Yeah, they look pretty great. so yeah, he goes to this oil company, the place.
Yeah, and in Mexico.
He meets the geologist.
Yep.
They're both really into butt play, is what I assumed.
They love denim butts. They both scope each other's butts out.
Yeah, they're looking at those anuses. They're like, check out these anuses.
Hot mom geologist.
Yeah, hot mom geologist is absolutely right. She looked familiar, but when I looked her up, I didn't.
I think her name's Helen Shaver. I'm not sure what else I've seen her in.
And so they go off and they do. They do like a montage of them.
They
just
do graboid hunting.
They do graboid hunting the way they did in the first one, where this time they have all the supplies in the world. Mm-hmm. One thing that occurred to me is because Mexico is like, you can have anything, and they still get in these problems. Like they put the chains on the back of the truck, and the graboid grabs the chain and pulls them along, and they get trapped in a couple locations. Why did they ask for a helicopter?
I guess because you have to be close to the ground to do it.
Yeah. Seems like a helicopter would have been a good idea.
At least one.
Yeah, and like, because their excuse for not having more people is they're like, we want to have them, we don't want a bunch of people running around. That's why they don't get the army.
We want to
pull them specifically into a location. It's like, yeah, but you could still have like security at a base.
Mm-hmm. You could still have, you know, one tank.
Yeah, and you could still have backup. You could still have, and then those people could have a helicopter. Every time you go out with your truck, there could be like a dude in a helicopter watching.
Just following you. That's a good point.
Yeah, like that's what I mean is like when they know their biggest weakness is that these things, you can't touch the ground around them, and if you get into a problem, you will starve to death or you know. So like the idea that they wouldn't have like. A really good radio system or like just helicopters checking in on them. It's again, I know why in the terms of the movie's budget, but if I were hunting graboids and I had the entire Mexican government,
I'd get a helicopter.
Right. Yeah.
There's act one is basically a lot of, Bert and Grady hunting graboids and they're all fun scenes. Like there's fun banter, there's fun action of them blowing up graboids.
Bert shows up with even more explosives. And we learn he's also divorced because of Reba.
Yeah, Bert's introduction is pretty fun.
Yeah, he's just sitting at home looking. Like, the moment I saw him, I was like, oh, he's divorced.
Like, yeah, he's not doing so well.
That is a divorced man I'm looking at. And he says he blames it on the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Well, no, no, he says that she blamed their problems on the collapse of the Soviet Union because it affected him so much.
Right. Like, she's probably not wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. She says, like, I don't know what to do with myself unless there's a world war to prepare for. What kind of thing is that to say to a man? It's all fun and there's good dialogue and fun banter and stuff, but the problem with the first act that is missing what was in the first act of the original Tremors is that there aren't any stakes at first.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know what the stakes are.
Which I'm okay with if they got to it a little faster.
Yeah, they needed to get to it a little faster.
I like the idea where they're like, they're on top of the world. They're unbeatable now.
They're crushing it, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, there's a little bit of exposition. They find a fossil that she finds out they're older than dinosaurs.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's all we learn about them.
Yeah.
I think
we learn more as the movies progress, but it's like...
Probably.
I think this is the first movie where they call them graboids, isn't it?
No, they called them graboids in the first one.
Oh, okay.
It's Walter says it.
Oh, right. yeah. So it takes a while to start, and what happens is one of the graboids seems to be sick.
Yeah, it's just kind of beached itself.
Yeah, and it's like being like, Bruh! And it's
and
like
they
that,
get stuck, so they're just waiting there.
We should add that they've been offered $50,000 per graboid.
Yes,
$100,000 for one alive.
Which isn't, honestly, it's not that much more of an incentive. It's like $100,000. It's like, yeah, but you guys have killed 12 of these things.
Yeah, we'll get to it with the kill count, but they are rich men by the end of this movie.
Oh, yes. they have killed so many of these things.
Yeah. So then they go to the graboid to capture it, and they find it burst open, which is a great fucking prop.
It's awesome. It's an awesome effect.
Yeah. Amalgamated Dynamics, ADI. They don't know what did it. They see, what's his name? Pedro.
Yeah, he's driving out with his tow truck to get, because they get their truck stuck, so they call back to camp, and then they have one of the refinery employees, Pedro, is driving out to them with a tow truck to get him unstuck.
Yep. And spoilers, this is another IMDb trivia. I don't know why it's I don't know why it's listed on IMDb, but every person who dies is Mexican.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't think
not a single white person dies.
Yeah, which I think that's more has to do with just the dynamic of main characters versus where they are in side characters. Like, they didn't intentionally do that. They just were like, it takes place in Mexico, and they have to kill some side characters. But it is weird.
Oh yeah, and it is interesting that the first person in the opening of the film, we see one of the refinery employees get killed, and it's a guy played by Thomas Rosales.
Is that Jurassic World or Lost World?
He's in The Lost World.
Yeah.
And the plot of this movie is pretty similar to The Lost World, where they have to convince Jeff Goldblum to help them because he's been there before.
Yeah. Yeah, no. When did he film Lost World?
It would probably been 96.
Okay. So, yeah, when they brought him to the set of Lost World, they're like, okay, so there's like a monster. He's like, yeah, I know. I know how to get killed by monsters. Thank you.
Yeah. He also knows how to get... He plays a thug in a lot of things in the 80s and 90s. Like, I think he's been killed by every possible type of action hero.
Right. Good on
him.
And
also a few different kinds of monsters.
Yeah, good on him.
The man's had a rich career. He was in an episode of Briscoe County.
Oh, which episode? I remember him. Shit.
Briscoe in Jalisco.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Good pull.
Solid pull, man.
He's killed by a T-Rex in The Lost World, right?
He gets stepped on by the T-Rex, yeah.
Good on him.
Mm-hmm.
Way to get stepped on. That's great.
Way to get stepped on. He also causes the death of Peter Stormare.
Yes, he sure does.
Because when Peter Stormare tells him he's going to go take a shit, he's listening to his headphones and doesn't hear him.
Is he the same guy who wakes up and screams at the T-Rex?
I believe so, yes.
So he causes the death of a lot of people.
Yep.
He just
he's kind of a liability on the Lost World
mission.
Yeah, he's
just a real asshole in that. So they find out All right, so the Pedro's truck is trashed, and I really like this idea, is that they find out that there's these fucking... they keep finding, like, electronics being eaten, and they think they're being fucked with. Like, they think the Graboids are smart, and it seems that way, and I like that idea. So, like, they can't call for help.
Yeah, and it makes sense, too, because Earl's like, oh, no, they do this. They get smart, and they start breaking... Like, so they start making plans,
and
the audience accept it.
Yeah, all their vehicles are gone, and then we meet the new Graboids, the evolved ones, and they're adorable.
They're like little raptors.
Yeah, little raptors. They're little demigorgons. They're basically kind of took the demigorgon design. It feels like it was taken from this.
Yeah, maybe. They basically have the Graboid head on these little kangaroo bodies.
Yeah, they're fucking great. I want one.
They're pretty sweet.
And so they learn that when they eat, they breed, which I think is everything does that. Right?
Right, but it's instant with this.
Which, all right, the way they learn this is they feed it and then it gives birth. And they're like, oh, when it eats, it gives birth. And it's like, or you fed it and it happened to be pregnant. Like, it's a weird...
Yeah.
Like, I know they're right, but it's a weird thing to jump into. It's a weird assumption. At this point, they learn that they're heat-seeking.
Yeah.
Bert gets attacked by a bunch. In a great sequence.
Yeah, it's a very funny sequence when he comes driving back with his truck's all destroyed and it's covered in gore. It's great.
And he's like, I ran out of ammo. I've never done that. Like,
I am completely out of ammo.
Yeah.
That's never happened to me before.
Yeah, he's so shaken about the idea.
And when he explains it, he's like, I got most of them with machine gun fire and then... luckily there were a lot of them were in front of me, so I ran them all down, and then the rest got on board. I had to dispatch them with a mixture of small arms fire and hand-to-hand tactics.
Oh, it's so good. Bert is so good in this.
He really is.
He gets a... Alexa's talking to me. Alexa, stop it. She's always butting in. What was I going to say about Bert? He's given a bomb in this. The Mexican government gives him a bomb.
He has several pounds of explosives.
Well, doesn't he get like, he has that big thing and he's like, oh, that's a little something for me.
It looks like an artillery shell. He's like, that might end up in my private collection.
Yeah, my private collection until I use it to bomb a federal building.
Oh, I texted you this while I was watching it. Bert is absolutely going to bomb a federal building.
Yeah, we've talked about this in the previous one too. Like, Bert is, in context of today, he's a dark character, but he's totally fun in these because it's the 90s where it's like, well, even in the 90s, like, domestic terrorism was kind of a problem.
Where the Oklahoma City bombing happened in 1996, the year this film came out.
Right.
So.
Which I guess, when they were filming it, they didn't know.
Right. I mean, but Bert is still a good guy. He's just, you know, it was a little rough seeing like the Soldier of Fortune in his house. And it's like, oh, that's, they sell copies of the Turner Diaries.
Yeah. they're not cool.
That ain't great.
Yeah. We all know what Bert became, all right? We all know what Bert is today in this world.
Yeah. But pretty much from the moment, and I think that that's what we were talking about, is they needed to get to the worms evolving into the Shriekers faster, because as soon as the Shriekers are introduced, this movie is a blast.
Yeah, because they do what they did with Tremors. They set up some rules, and they follow them, because the Shriekers are heat, they're heat-seeking.
Yeah.
And that's why they're getting after the electronics, not because they know what they're doing. Because
they're hot.
Yep. And they realize their heat seeking is funny because they can hide behind like doors and they don't see
them. That's a fun sequence.
Which is fun. I don't think that's how like heat vision works.
No, but
it's fine. It's again, they have specific rules and they follow them. Because the first thing they do is they'd be hiding behind a desk and they put a broom up and they move it around.
Nothing happens.
Yeah. And then the Shrieker shrieks when they put their hand up. So it's that. It can't sense through things, but it sees heat.
The film escalates in the same way as the first movie does, where every time they get ahead, something new happens, and it's directly related to what just happened.
Right, and so they end up trapped on roofs.
Yeah, they're gonna get to the truck. they get past the shrieker by using the doors, but then there's one like in between them and the truck. So Bert shoots it with his long range rifle and it fucking blasts it in half. And it's amazing.
He rips it in half. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very funny shot. Cause he puts these earplugs in and he goes like, cover your ears. Everybody covers their ears. And you see him shoot the gun and all of the windows of the building shatter.
Oh, it's so
when
good.
He shoots it. And the monster just blows in half.
Yeah.
But then they see that the rifle is in fact so strong that it has shot through many different obstacles and actually right. shot the truck they were going for.
Yeah, I like that Bert keeps complaining, like, I didn't know this is what we'd be dealing with. I would have brought a different type of ammo. Like, he's very specific about that. It's like, you didn't tell me about these. I was expecting graboids, and so I brought insane ammo.
Right, that's why the fact that this rifle went through so many things is related to the first movie where he was like, I didn't have penetration to get through the ground. I thought I was going to be shooting at worms in the ground. This thing has maximum penetration.
Yeah.
So the truck's dismantled, so they have to run for it. And then Bert lures them into a warehouse and shuts it. And they're like, yeah, we won. But the warehouse is full of food. So they start breeding again.
Right. Also, I loved, because the first thing that happened was the MREs.
Yes.
I love how they treat MREs. He calls it superfood in this. And I love that they treat MREs in this movie like they've just been invented. Because everybody's like, an MRE, what is that? And Bert has to like explain it. And I think
in the early 90s, your average person didn't know what an MRE was.
That's fair. I was going to say, this movie is what makes me, as an adult, every now and then order MREs on the internet because I think I have like a nostalgic love for them watching this movie and being like, I want to try an MRE. But yeah, I guess, and they have to treat the audience like they're dummies, and they do come in, they are important. So I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're trapped in with the food and they start breeding.
Yeah.
And then we go back to following the rules where they need a way to get, because he's like, there's going to be 100 of these. So,
yeah.
So Earl gets sprayed with a bunch of,
CO2 from fire extinguishers.
It makes his body temperature cool. He goes in, he sets a bomb, it starts melting. So there's like some nice little tension there and he has to swing out like Indiana Jones. And I love this moment coming up because then he mentions to Bert that he planted the bomb in there with Bert's truck with all the explosives. And Bert's like, we need to go.
Yeah, we need to run. And they're like crouching behind this shed and Bert keeps running past them.
He just blows past them. He goes, keep running.
He's like, no, we got to go farther than this.
It's so good. Because again, Bert, we've established this in the one before. He's all about safety.
Yeah,
and so he says that he's like, okay, this will have to do. Everybody cover your ears and get low. Because again, he's just like, this is going to be bad. Like, this might pop our eardrums. We might get internal bleeding.
Right. Like, the force from this explosion alone might kill us.
Yeah, exactly. And then the thing explodes, and it's so big it leaves a crater. A matte painting crater. They had to hire a guy to do a matte painting.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Almost kills proto Dane Cook because he doesn't get down.
Yeah, probably does kill him just right, later.
Right. I'm sure like his internal organs have partially liquefied.
Yeah. Oh, so that's the movie.
That's Tremors 2, yeah.
Yeah, I recommend it, by the way. I recommend Tremors 2.
It's surprisingly good for a direct to video movie from the 90s.
Yeah. I think it's free to watch on Stars right now if you have Stars. Some other behind the scenes stuff. One of my favorite effects of this movie, and Tom, I got to send you this photograph later, is the way they did the infrared, the POV. Now, what you'd think they did is shoot with a special camera. But I think what we forget is that that type of camera is actually really expensive, an infrared camera. And we're dealing with an age where you can't just do that in post-production.
Right.
So what they did is they dressed the actors in red suits, red and yellow suits, with yellow stockings over their face and red suits over their torso. There's a picture of it, and it's hilarious. and then they shot it on Hi8 videotape. and blew it up to 35 millimeter film to make it look grainy. And that's how they did the POV.
That's really cool. Yeah.
It's really cool. It's ridiculous looking.
It works.
Yeah, it really works.
Yeah, it looks like an effect shot.
Yeah, 100%. They for the graboid that was burst open, that's actually the graboid from the first film. They refurbished it.
Okay.
Couple other cool effects. The scene where the graboid gives birth to the baby,
mm-hmm.
they didn't make a baby puppet because they made, basically for this film, they made two of those puppets, the Shriekers. Full body Shriekers, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had rubber ones. They had three rubber ones. They had three hand puppet versions, but they had two full scale puppet ones. And to do that baby Shrieker, they just built a giant cage and put the full scale puppet in it. They
that makes
blew
sense.
Up the set to make it look tiny. I thought that was a really cool idea.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like we mentioned all the other behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, all the stuff I can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, the effects just look really good.
Yeah, oh, they look great. Again, the CGI is dated. The CGI is not as good as Jurassic Park.
Oh.
Even though it's Phil Tippett doing it, and it's purely budgetary related, you know?
Yeah, the CGI is, yeah.
The part where they're making a fucking pyramid...
Mm.
It's pretty bad looking.
It's all pretty bad looking, but it's like Sci-Fi Channel from 1999. So it's like, it's fine. It gets the job done.
Right.
But it's used very sparingly. It's only used when like they need to show
right.
a bunch of them in motion.
It's used like the 90s where they're like, we know we can't do this all the time. The first shot of it at night looked good because it's in shadows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like they blend it a lot. Like in the scene where Earl is creeping through the warehouse, in the foreground there's a bunch of the rubber ones, and then in front of him there's a bunch of the CGI ones.
Right.
It's just, you know, because there was a number of them. They blend them all really well.
Yeah. It's a good job.
Yeah,
That's everything for our behind the worm section. We can get into us versus them now, which is just overall kill counter, which, you know, who died more. This is a pretty significant in terms of kill counter.
Yes.
The only humans that die is, I believe, Julio, Pedro, and the oil worker. That's three. Mm-hmm. One coyote.
Six workers from before the movie started.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, the hot mom geologist mentions that six people have died.
All right, so nine people total and one coyote.
Well, unless one of those six is Thomas Rosales from the beginning.
So let's go with eight and
we'll
one
go with
coyote.
Eight and one coyote.
In the montage, they kill 12 Tremors because they say they've made $300,000 and it's $50,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
Bert then kills one with a mini tank. Oh, you know what? We'll skip ahead because Bert says we're about even later. So
yeah.
Bert kills another 12.
Yes.
So that's 24.
Mm-hmm.
Then the sick graboid, 25.
Mm-hmm.
Three Shriekers die on screen at first. So 25, 26, 27, 28.
Mm-hmm.
Bert kills like 10 of them with his car. I couldn't count them
We know that they said there were 28 Shriekers. Earl and Grady kill three. Which leaves 25 more.
28
and then,
total?
And then,
they
yeah,
say they killed 28 worms at the end.
Yeah.
And
but
then
they say
shouldn't we charge them for the Shriekers as well?
Right. They say they were eight worms left, and then they do the math, and that's 24 of the Shriekers because they estimate that three Shriekers come from each worm.
Okay. So there's 28 total?
Earl and Grady kill three of them. Bert says, I killed probably about two dozen, but we see that he caught one alive, and then a live one clung to the underside of his trucks. So that means Bert killed 23 of them.
23 of them. Jesus.
So they kill 26 of them before they start multiplying.
So, okay. So, 20... Jesus.
26 of them plus 28 worms.
So, 54?
Yeah, and then Bert blasts one in half with his rifle.
55.
And then they blow up probably 100, we'll say.
So, 155.
Yeah.
So, it is... it's 8... Versus 155.
Eight and one coyote versus 155.
Good God. So yeah, that's kind of the weirdest part about this movie is mm-hmm. not enough people die. That cutscene, we would have had more dead people, but yeah, we didn't have the cutscene. Yeah, more dead people, because it is gruesome when Julio dies. It's just like, it's, I remember that death.
Yeah, I remember Julio's death too. Yeah,
yeah, because he's standing in a window and he's talking to the geologist, and then he just starts going ah, and they cut to his legs getting torn apart by one of these things. The 28 worms at the end, by the way, is $1.4 million they get for killing those worms. Mm-hmm. If they
charge $50,000 a piece for each shrieker, holy shit.
I kind of want to do that math real quick. Hold on. So 50,000 times 155. I'm doing this in my head totally. 7.7 million. Divided by what? 3? 4. Divided by 4.
No, that's each.
That's each?
They were making 50,000 each.
Jesus. So times 2, they're definitely paying like $15 million, the government, to these guys. If Bert wants in, then that's even more.
Oh, that's the only reason Bert would be in. Of course, yeah, Bert's right. getting paid.
That's like $20 million or more.
I mean, that's not bad.
If the geologist gets in, that's like they're hitting like $30 million to get all
these.
Well,
she doesn't kill any of them.
Oh, that's fair. She helps.
Yeah, she helps.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. The point is that they're millionaires.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So
are.
That makes me very curious about where the series is
where
going.
Where it's
going
to go, yeah.
I want to say this is probably the Fred Ward bows out of the next one.
Yeah. No, yeah, the only person who, it's just Bert for the rest of them.
That said, I think Earl comes back. I think, like Kevin Bacon with the TV series, I think they warmed back up because I think Fred Ward comes back later.
I don't know. Maybe. We're going to find out together.
Yeah, that's true. I watched behind the scenes of this one, and they interview Fred Ward, and you can tell he's already kind of sick of it. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm an ostrich farmer now, and like, it's just like, you can tell he's like, that interview where you're supposed to excitedly explain the movie, he's just like, God, do I have to do this? Like, it reminds me when Harvey Keitel got interviewed for From Dusk Till Dawn, and like, he just didn't want to do the interview. I think he insisted that only Tarantino could do the interview or something, because it's that again where he's just like, it's vampires. Like, why are you asking me about this? Like, this is a vacation. I don't know. I guess we'll find out together.
Yeah, we're definitely going to find out together. It's going to be awesome.
All right, I guess that's our next section, our final section then. Bert's Bullets, where we do a rating system, 1 through 5 bullets, 5 being like the most bullets, the bestest.
Yeah, 5 being the best and 1 being not the best.
Not the best.
No.
What would you...
Because we're rating this in terms of Tremors movies, not in terms of like movies in general.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So yeah, let's make that clear.
Yeah, I'd probably give this a 4 of Bert's Bullets.
Yeah, I'd give it a 4 of Bert's Bullets.
4 is fine. 4 is reasonable.
We gave the first one a 5 because that's our baseline.
Well, of course. That's the baseline is the first one, which is great and wonderful and perfect.
Yeah. I would say this is a 4.
I'd give this a solid 4.
I might even give it a little more. I might give it a 4.5.
4.5 bullets?
If we're allowed to do halves.
Are we allowed to do halves?
I don't know, because this movie, that half is purely nostalgia, is the realization watching this that I was like, oh, I know this. Mm-hmm. I watched it in my friend's basement as a kid. The part where he makes the note about the explosives, and he's like, it's a bit excessive. And the thing hits him in the face. I was like, oh, that's in my heart, that moment. Like, that's part of my soul. I don't know. I can't recommend this movie enough for people who like Tremors. That's for sure. If you watched the first Tremors and you liked it, I think you'll like this one. Because it's basically Tremors again. Just with a little flair, right?
Yeah, less money.
Yeah, less money.
With less money.
It's an underdog.
Yeah, but they do enough to change it up. I mean, it's written the same way, which is nice.
Yeah. I gotta look this up. What Tremors 3 is gonna be? Tremors.
It's called Back to Perfection.
Oh no! So I assume they're back to perfection.
Yeah. They must be back to perfection.
Yeah, they don't. Nothing changes. It's just like they're yeah. Oh yeah. Oh man, I'm excited about. Sorry, I'm looking up. I'm looking it up, and we can save this for the next one. Because it's also a writer of Wild Wild West directing it, but the other one.
Yeah.
It's like one big family. Big Tremors family. And you know what?
Why not?
Good for them. Good for them. I guess that's it. Yeah. Any final Tremors 2 thoughts?
No, I remember renting this, you know, once or twice back in the 90s and being surprised back then when I watched it. Like, oh, this wasn't bad.
No, it's not bad. It's surprisingly good. 4.5 in terms of Tremors. What's going to be... We're officially stepping into the abyss, for me, mm-hmm. at least. I've never seen them past Tremors 2.
No, never seen any of them past this.
Yeah, and there's, what, 6 of them?
I don't know. 6 or 7. There's a crazy number of them.
Yeah, I think the last one was A Cold Day in Hell.
Yeah, which right now is free on Netflix, so if we get to it.
Okay, I hope we do.
I mean, before it goes off of Netflix, I mean. We're getting to it one way or the other.
Right, it's got Jamie Kennedy in it.
Ugh, like a so few of look, them have Jamie
yeah,
Kennedy.
Yeah, we can look forward to Jamie Kennedy being the addition to
I
this.
Refuse to look forward to Jamie Kennedy.
Okay.
I mean, I accept
I respect
Jamie
it.
Kennedy.
No, I respect
I'm not
it.
Looking forward to Jamie Kennedy.
I respect it. I respect
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Your
yeah,
decision.
I respect that you respect it.
Yeah.
I respect your respect.
Okay. Mutual respect.
Mm.
You win this round.
That's how Tremors thrives, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guys, you should check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Because like we said, this is brought to you by one of our Patreon tiers. We also have other tiers with exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have a tier where every Friday we watch movies such as Tremors. And our patrons join us for it.
Yeah.
We got a TeePublic store, teepublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. You can check out some great shirts and some mugs. You can drink out of us.
Mm-hmm.
You want to drink out of us.
Drink our stuff.
Uh-huh. And keep your eyes out because we have several miniseries podcasts coming up.
Yeah, for sure.
One of them might have already been out. By now.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. It's impossible to know.
Who can say?
Yeah, just a real avalanche of hot con coming your guys' way.
Taste our con.
Taste our hot con.
Yeah, our hot con all over you.
Oof. All right.
Tremors!
Tremor! Fear! What?